Hello. This story is the only remaining record of our existence, and the events which led us into obscurity. Everything else has been scrubbed from time. Makeshift Stories 123, Cloud Management. It had only been a few days since Amos and the Aleutian transmitted to the third planet. I suppose we had expected an almost instant change. A large ship arriving in orbit, a radio signal, or something happening within seconds of the transfer. After all, Amos would have more than 60 years on the other end to produce results. So, when nothing had happened by the fourth day, we began to think the mission might be a failure. Had the Aleutians somehow stopped Amos? We didn't know. However, we understood that she no longer shared Galen's mind. He was free of the alien parasite and was already busy consolidating his power as the new CEO. Did he know something we didn't? Galen remained silent on this issue while all the rest of us watched the skies or listened to the radio spectrum for a sign. Serene looked around her new environment. She had been to this place in time before, but she sensed three presences that should not have been there.
Simone, I need your help for a moment.
Serene swiveled in the chair she was sitting in to face a young man standing beside her desk. He appeared to be in his late teens or early 20s and was wearing a dark blue polo shirt emblazoned with the name De Havilland Zeppelin Aerospace. Below the company logo, there was a metal name tag which identified him as Tim, Junior Data Analyst. It only took a second for Serene to settle into her host's persona, Simone.
How can I help you, Tim?
She responded without missing a beat. Serene had been doing this so long that she didn't suffer the disorientation less experienced travelers would.
I need help with the latest test figures.
Tim handed her a pile of printed fan-folded paper. She hesitated.
It's the printout from the mainframe. I think it's gaps in the data that's causing the problem. Can you come over with me to Building 4 and take a look?
Serene swiveled back to see her desk. It was empty except for a large, clunky-looking phone with mechanical push buttons, a calculating machine, a nameplate which said Orbital Mechanics, Head, and an empty in-out basket.
Looks like I'm free. Let's go.
She agreed. Serene followed the young man through a maze of desks, attended by operators typing on mechanical keyboards, which made an almost deafening sound. They finally exited into a sun-bleached parking lot. As they weaved between the cars, a large shadow appeared from nowhere to block the sun and provide temporary relief from the glare and heat. Serene looked up, expecting a cloud, but found that a large airship had parked itself above the complex. Tim noticed her staring at it.
Management, Tim complained. Probably reading license plates in the parking lot to make sure everyone's at work.
He laughed.
Just joking. You're not management or something, are you?
Serene noticed several other airships floating nearby with the orange De Havilland Zeppelin logo printed along their metallic flanks.
No, she guessed. I'm not. It's just that, well, I was surprised. I was expecting a cloud.
You don't get out much, do you?
Tim laughed.
A cloud? Really? Management's airships are usually so thick over the campus that we never see the sun. How long have you worked here anyway?
Obviously not long enough,
Serene said, changing the subject. She wanted to say that airships, as far as she remembered, were not part of this historical thread. She involuntarily shivered.
Let's go.
Tim led her to a three-story gray cinder block building with a large number 4 painted on its facade. The entrance consisted of two industrial metal doors. A sign on one announced they were entering the data processing unit. Tim pushed through first, and a blast of artificially cooled air met Serene. She turned and looked behind. The airship had moved off heading west. There was something about that airship. More accurately, she was sensing a presence on it which made her uneasy. She was happy it had gone, but made a note of the mental pattern she had picked up. That was one, but there were still two other unexplained presences. She followed Tim through a long beige hall, lit by a row of ceiling-mounted fluorescent tubes which lent a sickly green tone to the space. Through windows cut into the walls, Serene could see row after row of large red boxes sporting reels of tape and the letters IBM stenciled on their casing. Tim eventually stopped in front of a small elevator, pressed the call button, and waited anxiously.
"Thanks for coming. No offense intended, but it's hard to get your attention. Everyone around here says you ignore bottom-rung workers like us. But this is too important. That's why I came to get you."
His face began to turn red. Serene Simone said nothing. Trying to fill in the awkward silence, he added,
"You haven't been to the data processing center before. I noticed you looking at the mainframe. It takes up the entire ground floor. They just installed it, and it has a storage capacity of 5.4 million bytes. They claim it's the largest capacity computer in the country."
5 megabytes? Serene blurted out. "For that entire machine?"
"Yeah, isn't that amazing?"
Tim missed the irony in her voice. The elevator suddenly dinged and its door jerked open. Tim walked in first, then pressed 3. A few seconds later, they exited onto a smaller hallway. Tim walked a few feet, then pushed through a door labeled Data Analysis. Serene hesitated, then followed him in. Nothing about this was right, she decided. Janva woke in her intended target. This time, the integration had gone perfectly. She braced herself for the disorientation, but it wasn't as bad as she had feared. She reached out with her mind and sensed Amos and two others, whom she couldn't immediately ID. Her eyes snapped open, and she looked around, breathing a sigh of relief. She was sitting at a desk with an electric typewriter, a dial phone, and stacks of paper files. Okay, she thought, despite the limitations of the makeshift transfer device and the circumstances in which she started out, it looked as if she had hit close to the right date. She knew that Amos had picked a time just after this world's second global conflict, about 60 to 70 years back into its history. From what she remembered, the office equipment looked like it was from the right period. She hoped she had arrived within a few weeks of Amos. She leaned back, stretched her arms and legs, then searched her host's mind. There was no one else trying to push her out. Just the gentle, unconscious presence of the host. As she had predicted, Galen had not been able to follow her through. Suddenly, the floor shifted under her, making her feel dizzy. She gripped the chair's leather-covered armrest and tried to quell the sensation. But the floor shifted again, this time more subtly. But it was the floor, not a physical response to the transmutation. She was sure of it. The door to the office opened unannounced, and a young woman with short, cropped black hair and olive skin, dressed in a smart business suit, walked in.
"We're underway, madam. Will you need anything else?"
Janva quickly read the woman's name tag.
"Maya, can you remind me what our schedule is?"
"Of course, ma'am. We'll meet with the mission designers on Tuesday. Then we're on to the construction site, which will take most of Wednesday. I've set up a meeting with de Havilland Zeppelin's C-level executives the next day, although their CEO will not be attending. But the president of Camper Heavy Industries does carry some weight. We grossed more than DZ for the last 8 quarters, so we have a big bankroll. Their CEO won't ignore us for long. He needs us to invest. We have our diplomats working on that. Will there be anything else?"
Janva excused the woman, then got up. The room seemed to move again, almost making her sick. She placed her hand against the wall to steady herself, then made her way to the ceiling-to-floor curtains on the far side of the room. She pulled them open and gasped. They were floating thousands of meters above the ground. Close by, an immense airship was paralleling their course.
"Airships?"
Janva stepped back from the window, confused, then noticed a calendar on the desk. The date was July 2007. You have been listening to Ceres, a Makeshift Stories production. Ceres is released once a month between the 1st and the 7th. The story is written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing music was composed and recorded by David H. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. You can help us out by writing a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, or any of your favorite podcast services. Ceres and Makeshift Stories are released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means that you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.
Thanks for listening, and remember to come back between the 15th and the 20th for another story in our series Somewhere, Sometime.